This is the Top Agents Playbook podcast, episode number 15.
Welcome to the Top Agents Playbook podcast, your source for the very best tools, tips, and ideas used by real estate's top performers. Now here's your host, Ray Wood.
Well, hello and welcome back to the show. I'm now getting regular emails and feedback, and I'd like to say thanks for so many kind words. I honestly had no idea that the impact of a real estate podcast would be so big, and I'm grateful and humbled by your response. I feel a real connection with my listeners, and I'll be doing the very best I can to bring you the most informative content from real estate's top performers. I'd also like to let you know that I personally answer every message, so if I can help with a question, or even if you'd like to recommend a top agent for the show, please go to topagentsplaybook.com and send me a message. And by the way, if you know of someone who's new to real estate and doing really well, please let me know. I've had quite a few emails lately asking me to profile a rookie agent who's quickly climbing the ladder of success. And before I get into my interview with Glenn, I want to say thanks to Locked On for sponsoring this podcast. If you're getting great value from your real estate software program and it's saving you time and making you money, then do nothing. But if you're ready to join real estate's top agents who want robust, cloud-based software that lets them access their clients from anywhere, send stunning HTML newsletters and emails where they can monitor who's actually opening their messages and can also send real direct mail letters without leaving their keyboard and mouse, then I'd encourage you to take a look at real estate's fastest growing CRM. And to share the love, Locked On are offering a huge joining fee deal and discount for life to new subscribers. To get the deal and discover more, simply go to topagentsplaybook.com and hit the resources tab. And don't forget, Real Estate Recharge is coming up this October, that's October 2015, on the Gold Coast. I've already had quite a few emails from listeners telling me they'll be there, and I'm looking forward to meeting you. This is a great opportunity to recharge your career and acquire some lucrative new business habits. We have a panel of top agents locked and loaded to deliver great content that I know you're going to love. Melbourne's Glenn Catino knows a thing or two about selling by auction. Glenn and his team auction up to 15 properties on a weekend and have a massive popular following in the prestige inner Melbourne suburb of Kew. In this revealing session, Glenn shares his main ideas around real estate success and how he handles a massive workload, a huge team, being a father of five, and making sure he gets to see his football team play every home game. If you know anything about Melbourne, you'll know how Melburnians love the competitive and genuine transparency of buying and selling property by public auction. The sudden death 20-minute scenario of a public auction happens quickly, but only after a major marketing campaign designed to attract every potential buyer. You'll learn how Glenn and his team plan an auction campaign, how it's financed, and how they bring it together on the day. Selling real estate by auction is a Melbourne institution that has now spread to many centres in Australia and New Zealand. RT Edgar is one of Australia's longest serving real estate companies, and Glenn's market dominance and personal following in his community continues to enhance this prestige brand. Well, hi everybody and welcome back. I'm with Glenn Catino, director at RT Edgar in Kew, which is a suburb of Melbourne in Victoria. G'day, Glenn.
G'day, buddy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, and thank you for your time. We were just chatting before the interview. You're doing about 15 or so auctions every weekend. How on earth do you manage all of that?
Well, when I say, you know, our office does about 15, I probably do my share, which is probably 7 or 8. And we kick off at about 10:30 is the first auction. Last one's about 4:30. So most auctions we run for about, they run for 15, 20 minutes, and then you're in the car and gone. So, yeah, you know, it's... The auction's easy. It's getting from place to place is the hard bit.
I bet. Have you got a very fast car?
Well, I've got a Mercedes. I'm a slow driver, but I know all the back streets.
Nice. Okay. Glenn, can you tell me a little bit about the mechanics of an auction? Normally over four Saturdays, I guess, with 3 weeks in between. Can you just tell me a little bit about your marketing, your lead up, how all of that works?
Sure. So when we list an auction, we would run it for four to five weeks, short, not too much longer than that. And it's an intensive campaign. We would run an advertising campaign on an average house of about $15,000 to $20,000 in vendor paid advertising funds.
Right.
And we would open it first Saturday. Our preference is to run it to auction. And most properties that we get, we do take to auction. We don't often sell before. Selling before is fraught with danger and very complicated in this marketplace.
Yep.
And, you know, when you're getting 50 people, 40 people through over a couple of weeks into an inspection, you just run the risk of missing someone. And then, of course, you get that, you know, you never called me. Why did you sell it beforehand? And so selling beforehand is very complicated. We just run it to auction. We like the fact that it's street theatre. We get a lot of business from neighbours when they see us do an auction. The vendor's satisfied with the result. So once we list it for auction, it generally goes to auction.
Okay. Well, Melbourne, of course, is the original home of the real estate auction, I guess. It's where it all started back in the day.
Yes.
So you mentioned before your average marketing campaign is 50 to 20,000. And my North American listeners will be interested to hear that those expenses are met by the seller.
They're met by the seller and they're paid up front.
Okay.
And it's pretty custom, Danny. I mean, there's some that don't want to do it. They're convincing, but, you know, the majority of them are comfortable with it. They understand the process.
Okay. So tell me about the open house schedule. Do you do any private appointments or mainly all opens?
We do any privates. It's really basically open house, and all our opens are Thursdays and Saturdays. House is open for 30 minutes on a Thursday and 30 minutes on a Saturday. And because we're selling for a lot of families, we try and stick to those times so it doesn't inconvenience the family. The days of having a buyer in a car and showing them real estate years, you know, haven't happened for years. Nobody does that anymore, Andy.
No, okay. And Glenn, what sort of a clearance rate are you getting if you say your last 100 auctions?
I'll be 90%, be easily 90%.
Under the hammer or?
Under the hammer or negotiated, you know, 5 minutes after the auction.
Okay.
And the other 10% might sell within 2 or 3 weeks after the auction.
So okay.
It's a pretty healthy market. Days on market here is probably 5 to 6 weeks.
And when you reach, or have you done any figures on percentage of sale, what am I trying to say, above the reserve price?
Yep. Look, probably at least half the properties we're selling at the moment are above the reserve price, and that is because we're in a pretty hot market.
Right.
But not only that, it also depends on the market you're in. So we're in a climate where it's elderly, pretty well-educated areas. Most people are realistic about what their value is. And so because of that, they tend to get overvalue. It's you know, if you've got in an area where vendors are unrealistic, then the reserves are too high. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, of course.
In our patch, most of the people are, you know, most of our market are doctors, lawyers, bankers, financial people. They know where the market is. They know where the values are. So their reserves are realistic. We generally wouldn't auction a house if it was totally unrealistic anyway, reserve-wise. We wouldn't do business.
So all of your sellers are pretty well motivated. When you're pitching for business, you're normally one of a few agents to be called in?
Well, not always. Look, I've been doing it 30 years now, so about 75% of my business is word of mouth and recommendation.
Right.
So that, you know, realistically that business is on a plate because I've kept in touch with them for a couple of decades. So that type of business is uncompetitive, and that's the business we like because the fees are good, healthy, good relationships. Occasionally people get 3 quotes and then we have to, you know, the line one. We call it the beauty parade in Melbourne.
Yes.
And they get 3 agents and pick one, and there's no logic to who they pick. It's never on fees. They just go with a gut feeling. So you get an hour to present and then you get a phone call the other day saying you won or lost.
Are you often challenged on fee?
No, okay. Not often.
Okay.
You know, you're talking about houses at a couple of $1 million upwards, so yep. The fee's going to be $40,000, and, you know, if you discount the fee a little bit, it's still 35. It's still pretty good money. Do you know what I mean?
Yep, sure. Okay. If I'm a seller in queue, what kind of, if I'm spending $15,000 or $20,000, can you talk to me a little bit about the marketing mix? What's my campaign going to look like?
You're looking at 4 ads in The Age, you know, reasonably good-sized picture ads. You're looking at 4 full pages in the local paper called the Weekly Review.
Yes.
And it's full page ads with photos, a very smart 10x8 foot board, lights on the board, 10 websites, beautiful glossy brochures, night lit photos, ads in the Chinese news.
Okay, because you've got something of an Asian market there where you are?
Yeah, very strong Asian market here. Okay. Because of the private schools.
And what about on like realestate.com.au or domain?
So we go on our site and all those sites lift off our site.
Okay, Okay. And what percentage of your buyer inquiry would be online, would you say?
About 30%.
Okay. And the rest had come from signs
print,
and
print media, and signs, recommendation, word of mouth, that type of thing.
Okay. What about the team? How many in the team selling?
Oh, there'd be 25, 28 people.
Okay. Okay.
Some part-time, some full.
How do you keep those guys and girls motivated? What are you doing? What kind of training?
It's pretty easy. It's commission-only business.
Okay.
They don't get paid anything if they don't sell.
So if you don't work, you don't get paid.
Yeah, look, we don't. You know, we have a training session once a week. We have a sales meeting once a week, and they get some motivation out of that, and then we leave them alone. And, you know, I mean, most of my staff have been here with us 10, 7 years, 8 years, and they know what they're doing. And, you know, there's no room for agents in Melbourne who are on wages. It's a commission-only business, and that keeps them motivated.
Yeah, sure. So your business, gross commission for a month, what would a good month be?
Well, look, on average, a good month for us is about $400,000. That's okay. What we aim for.
Yep.
Last month we did nearly 900. So okay. That's probably our best month in 30 years. We did $900,000 in gross fees.
Yep.
Plus property management, we probably nearly did $1 million in fees, which Lovely. We've never done. So that's not a norm. It was a one-off, and
that's excited. That's a very good month.
It's a cracker. We thought we might be doing that every month, but we're back to 400 this month. So anyway, party's over.
Mate, a month like that, you could afford to buy a great player for your football team.
That's right, yes. I could just afford Chris Jarne.
Glenn follows the Carlton Blues, everybody, which is a very famous club in Melbourne, AFL, if you're not familiar. Glenn, prospecting, you personally, you've got your following. You obviously use a CRM.
I use Top Producer.
Right.
And that has my database in there. It's probably got 30,000 people in there.
Okay.
I still prospect every day, not as many as I would, but I'd still make a good 35 to 40 outward calls a day.
Yes.
That's my goal.
Yes.
I'm pretty savage on myself. If I don't make my 40 calls a day, then tomorrow it's 80.
You follow that religiously, which is typical of a top agent.
Yep, so if I miss that day and have a couple of days off, which I've done, I had 2 days off over Easter, but I knew that when I came in on Tuesday I was 120 calls behind, and it's just self-discipline.
Yep.
Okay. I wish I had the discipline in the gym, but anyway.
Well, you can't have it everywhere, I guess.
No, true.
Tell me, Top Producer, does that let you bulk send SMS and other bits and pieces?
Email it does, yeah.
Right.
So my clients are on a weekly email program. So if you're a vendor of mine, you'll get an email every week from me. And, look, most of my customers respond well to a cup of coffee or a phone call pretty regularly.
Yep. Well, you're continually in the top five of Australian agents, which is a pretty awesome effort.
Yep.
What would you say is after your telephone calls, which is obviously what's feeding the machine, but you'd be making solid listing appointments from that. What's the next best prospecting method or procedure that you follow?
Your open for inspections are probably the key, because that's, you know, to me, the open for inspections are not about selling the house, but they're actually about you meeting people who are about to sell. I ask my team and myself to treat open for inspections like a job interview.
Right.
So that's when you need to be on your toes.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, I walk everywhere through my shops and areas in the area with my suit and tie and badge on, and I've always worn my badge everywhere I go, and, you know, I get business because of it. People see you, and, you know, you're prospecting at school. When you're picking up your kids, you're there with your badge on, and people come up and say, you know, can we help you? You know, so it's you're prospecting all day.
Yeah. You're a father of five, so
yes.
Do you get to, you take some time off during the week?
Oh, not during the week, no, but I do take Sundays off.
Right.
I work 6 days a week. And I'll take a Saturday afternoon off if Carlton are playing. So
right.
The guys booked the auctions for the year around the Carlton Football Club's schedule. So I can go to the footy. Well, I'll take the kids to the footy, so that's a bit of a time out with the children. And but, you know, Friday afternoons and probably Sundays are probably my time off.
Excellent. Excellent. Can you tell me about, like, a typical day? What would a typical day be for Glenn?
Okay, so probably, you know, up at about 7, get – 5 children off to school with my wife. That's our first goal. So that's done by between 7 and 8. The kids are all gone by about 8:15, and then in the car by 8:30. I mean, on the phone at 8:31 straight away. Make a couple of phone calls all the way into the office. Get into the office by about 8:45. I'm on the phone till about 11, flat out, nonstop.
Now, do you block out then everything else? That's just like time when you can't be interrupted.
In the morning, on the phone. By the time most of the sales guys drift in at about 11:30, I get in the car and go. And I go and see people, make appointments, show, look at houses, present till about 6 and get home.
Okay. So when you go to a listing presentation, do you expect to list it there and then?
Yep.
Or do you prefer to go away and do
no,
a...
I get about 95% of my business on the spot.
There and then? Yep. Okay. And do you ever list a property for sale that's not auction, or are most of them auction?
No, most of them are auction.
Okay. And because I guess the market is white hot in Melbourne at the moment, am I right?
It's hot, but look, if you price your property wrong, it won't sell. It doesn't matter how good a market is.
Okay.
You misprice it, it's not going to sell. We do have, you know, properties at 5, 6, 7 million that are sitting around because the price is wrong. So it wouldn't matter if it's a flat or the best house in Hawthorne. If its price is wrong, it's going to sit.
When you hire somebody, what are you looking for the sales team?
Yeah, I'm looking for them to be in debt.
Right.
That's a good start because they're no good in real estate if you're wealthy.
So in other words, they need a mortgage.
They need a mortgage, they need a wife, they need a couple of kids, they need to live in the area. So I'm not super fussy on that, but if they're married with children and they're good, honest citizens, and they've got kids at school, they've got a reputation to protect. And I like people that have got children at the local schools because they've got a network and they've got a reputation to protect, which means if they're going to protect their reputation, they will protect mine.
Yes, yes.
So, look, I like them to be, you know, focused. I have a mortgage, nice car, live in the area, couple of kids at school, perfect.
Okay. What advice?
The first thing I normally do if somebody comes in for the interview is I'll just jump on social media, have a look at their Facebook site, make sure they're a pretty honest person, make sure there's no stupid photos of them pissed and looking like an idiot. You know,
right.
And that's people that have got Facebook should think that through because that's what most people do nowadays.
Yeah, you need to be pretty careful, eh? It's your reputation online.
Yeah.
Glenn, what would be your advice for somebody starting out in real estate? What are the things? What are the key things you should focus on?
They need to work with somebody that knows what they're doing. They need to work with somebody that can motivate them, and then they need to develop their own brand. What they're doing is they're developing their own brand within the real estate industry and a name, and their goal should be to never burn anyone, never make any enemies, and just be, you know, super nice to everyone they meet for the rest of their life. And if they do that, they're halfway there.
And what about prospecting? Or say I'm listening to this now and I'm in my first year and I'm struggling. I'm spinning my wheels. I'm sort of taking one step forward and two steps back.
Yeah.
Which
tell them my email address.
I don't want an email. I want you to tell me now.
No, but I mean, what they need to do is they need to make sure that they are disciplined in their phone calls. So when they get into the office, they need to make their 20 to 30 calls a day and build up to 40 or 50. And that should be a not negotiable no matter what. And if they do that, they will meet people that won't give them business because they're new. But there's plenty of people that don't get other agents in that just give it to you on a plate.
Yeah.
And you've got to find the easy ones to start with.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So if they can find one easy listing, get it. List it, get on the door, then they'll meet people every Thursday and Saturday. They've got another listing, and it'll go from there.
Yeah, awesome. One last question, I'll let you go because I know you're busy.
Yeah.
Where's real estate? Where are we heading? I mean, you've been around for 30 years. You're at the top of your career. You're at the top of the earners in the country. Where are we heading as far as an industry? What are the major challenges ahead for us?
Look, the major challenges for the older guys is to understand the concept of social media and to make sure that they're on the 7 or 8 social media sites. So we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, WeChat. There's about 9 different social media sites.
Right.
We post on them once a week's enough. That's plenty just to make sure that everyone out there knows you're an agent. The second one is that, if you're going to be an estate agent, you've got to do it. So, look, I'm going to do this for 40 years. I'm not doing anything else. Because,
I listed a house today from somebody that I met 30 years ago that I've been ringing once every 3 months for 30 years.
Yeah.
Now, you find agents that have that sort of commitment. If I meet somebody today, and I'm 50 now, but if I meet somebody today that says, look, Glenn, we're not going to sell for 15 years, I know I've already got that house because I'm going to go 15 years.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything else. Well, unless you have
you actually making that call would put you in the top, I don't know, 0.5% of agents, I would have thought. Like people give up after 3 months.
Yeah, that's right. I said to our agents, so you go 25 years with somebody and win that listing, not many people will do that. Not people are going to wait 10 years for a sale.
Yeah.
But it's a long-term business. And you have to be at the stage where if you meet somebody now and they say, Glenn, look, we're not selling for 8 years, you think to yourself, that's mine. 8 years, all the other ones going to drop off.
You know what? It's interesting you say that because there's a school of thought at the moment that real estate professionals should only be speaking to people that are actually about to give them business. And I've always fought with that concept because in my career, so many of the great contacts I've had, in fact, some of them never sold real estate, but they always referred business to me. I'm sure you've found the same thing.
Yeah, look, I've got a lady that I've been ringing for 15 years. She's never given me anything. But, every now and again, she flicks a friend to me or sometimes some people give you nothing. But that's not why you do it. You do it because you like people and things turn around. And you can't go after somebody just because they've got a house to sell. You've got to like them. You've got to like people. I don't actually like houses, to be honest.
Yeah,
I like people. I like to get to know people, what they do for a living, what their lives are like. I've just got a lady that's just her daughter just sold her house with me, and she said to me, look, I had to give it to you because I'm 21. She goes, the day I was born, my mum got a present for my birth, and you sent me a birthday present for 21 years from the day I was one till the day I was 21.
Wow.
How could I list my house with her?
How could she go anywhere else?
Couldn't. You can't. Yeah, how could she?
Yeah. When you were talking about social media before, you said you post once a week.
Just a successful sale, some family shots, and, we sold this for $4 million or we sold this for $3 million. I don't drown people in it.
No.
But I want people, if they go searching for an agent on any social media, my name pops up.
And that's just part of your overall marketing or your overall or package, I guess. Are you getting inquiries from sellers via?
I sold 4 or 5 houses off Facebook last year, just inquiries.
Yeah.
Look, it's another part of your business, and I just allow an hour a week to update all my social media and make sure it's all sharp. And, if one of my friends looks me up on Facebook, he's going to know I'm a real estate agent.
Yep.
That's all I want to know.
Yep.
And so I don't post any whinging comments and no political comments. I mean, there's tons of stuff on Facebook now about Bali and what's happened over there. I don't do any of that. None of that. No, none of that sort of stuff.
No.
It's family photos and business and that's it.
Yeah, okay, awesome.
I've got a no whinging attitude. Even if I don't agree with something, I don't need to stand on a pedestal. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's important. Were you involved with The Block this year? Is that coming up?
No, I've done it. I've done it twice. But I did it a couple of times earlier in my career.
Yeah.
But, I don't do it because I love it. It's a good – but. You know, it's 150 to 200 hours to do it.
It's a huge commitment, isn't it?
It's a zero. It doesn't pay the school fees because it's a zero job.
Yeah.
You got to choose sometimes. And, I could get on if I really pushed my way back in again, but you don't get paid anything for it.
No.
So it's a lot of work. And, I did it once. It was enough, but I want to get on with just looking after my customers. Yeah. That's my goal.
Yeah. Terrific. All right. Well, mate, thank you. Thank you so much for your time. It's been a fantastic little rapid fire session from one of Australia's top performers. Thank you so much and good luck to the Blues this season.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Thank you. I'm Glenn Cortino and you've been listening to the Top Agents Playbook podcast.
Been listening to the Top Agents Playbook podcast. For show notes from this episode, recent podcasts, and lots more, go to topagentsplaybook.com.